Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, which is presented to you by Power Planter Earth Augers, the official digging tool. To find the right size for your digging project, visit powerplanter.com. Now here are your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Have you ever thought about possibly making your own tea, growing your own herbs, the legal kind, as well as spices? Well, we're going to cover all of that here in the next handful of minutes to enlighten you and bring forth some knowledge that maybe you're not fully aware of exists and what you can do in your own backyard or in containers. So teas are getting more popular, Holly, and there are certain things in which one can do in order to make their own teas. However, it kind of depends on how the plant grows in the area in which you live when it comes to the type of plant in order to make the tea. We're talking about physically growing a plant and getting the leaves and making the tea all in one swoop and not have to go to the store for tea.
Right. So there's this plant. It's a tea plant. And
it grows. Figure.
It grows actually in zone 8. So if you don't live in zone 8, you can grow it like on a patio or whatever.
In a container or in a greenhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you just bring it in it during winter.
Right.
So it's called the Camellia sinensis plant. I hope I'm saying that right. So it's a small shrub. Now it does get about 3 to 7 feet in height. So you can prune it back or whatever, but it's not like, like a little house plant.
Right.
It can get 3 feet tall. So you might have to prepare for that. But the cool thing about it is it's depending on how you process the leaves, you can grow green tea, black tea, or oolong tea.
3-in-1.
Mm-hmm. 3-in-1. And, so it likes a little bit more of acidic soil and a little bit more of sandy soil, so a little bit more porous.
Kind of like tropical to a certain degree if you got that sandy,
yeah,
sandy soil.
Yeah. So then, so you grow this. Some people will add something like a moss to the mix to give it the
water retention.
Yeah. And it can take up to 3 years before you might start harvesting leaves if you drink a lot of tea. So you might have some few leaves at first, but then at a certain point you'll have more than you need.
So like how would we process, let's just pick green tea. How would we process that? Just to give the listeners some idea of what steps are involved in such a procedure.
So what you would do is this is a whole process, but you pluck the youngest leaves, and the leaf buds, and then you would let them dry in the shade for a few hours, and then you steam the leaves. So you steam them like you would steam vegetables, like broccoli or something. Uh-huh. And then, you can spread them on a baking sheet and then dry them in the oven at 250 for 20 minutes. And then at that point you would grind them or whatever. And then you can store them.
And you can get, correct me here, you can get the tea bags and then pack them with your own flavors, right?
Yeah. Okay. So, like, say you grow, like, lemon balm.
Right.
So you could take your lemon balm, and then you would take your green tea leaves, and then you take the tea ball or tea,
okay, the
whatever
tea, yeah,
bags.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have your own tea.
And the tea ball versus the bags, is there advantage to one or the other? I mean, I guess the tea bags is one time use the tea ball. It looks like kind of like a smaller version of a ping pong ball that opens up and you pack it.
And they have all sorts of ones now. They have ones that look like manatees and aliens and robots.
But they're all the same size, aren't they? Are they different volumes?
It's just for like one cup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's, you know, just a brief thing about tea. I thought that was kind of interesting that you can make your own tea. You don't have to rely on some foreign country or farm far away in order to make some tea. Obviously, if you're going to drink a lot of tea, some investment is needed for this.
I think it's kind of cool if you drink a lot of tea.
Well, and even if you just have it in the corner, like if you have a 3-season or 4-season porch, you could have that in that corner,
mm-hmm,
and do the necessary requirements for it, and you could have your own tea plant.
It's a pretty plant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about herbs. Growing your own herbs, the legal kind based on the state that you live in. We're not going to take the cannabis route, but people do grow for a variety of health and recreational purposes.
Yeah.
But herbs, I guess, if somebody said, hey, I want to grow herbs, what is the easiest or what would you recommend? I would say basil, sage, and what would you say? What would be another one? Basil, sage.
Oregano.
Oregano would be an easy one. Thyme. We all need thyme, so we need to grow some.
Yeah, we all need thyme.
Now, the thing with basil, it's not just your grandmother's big, large-leaf, green Italian basil. There's about 16 or 20 different flavors of actual basil. Chocolate, licorice, lime, lemon. What am I missing? There's a whole bunch of them there that you didn't know existed. I mean, there's chocolate basil. Yeah, it tastes like chocolate. Licorice, it tastes like licorice. Lemon and lime, yep, tastes just like those. So there's a bunch of different varieties in which you can grow. Obviously, if you're uncertain if you're going to like something, you want to try to find somebody who has a plant that has that flavor to it. Now, I guess it would be if you had, lemon balm tea, mm-hmm. would be, you can grow lemon balm. If you had your own tea plant, then you could grow lemon basil and counteract and use that instead of a lemon wedge. You could do that. Herbs, they need, based on, well, rosemary is a very popular one. Rosemary, the thing a lot of people have difficulty with rosemary is it begins to die. And that's because they're overwatering it. Basil is a very unique herb in which it likes to get a lot of water and then go through a dry cycle. And this is definitely in containers that you've got to let that dry cycle occur. Otherwise, you get root rot, and that's what kills the plant. You can also take on almost virtually any herb. You can propagate it by cuttings and extend your plant. That's what we did for a number of years. We would get a rosemary plant, and then we'd just take cuttings off of it, root it in water, then plant it, and we carried on that a great deal.
That's for like probably 6 years, I think. Yeah.
But growing herbs in containers on your porch, patio, deck, inside, next to the kitchen window. We've done that for a number of years, worked very well. They're very versatile. And the thing with herbs is you do not need full sun. Obviously, they will grow great in full sun. However, if you only have 3, 4, 4.5, 5 hours of sun, most herbs will do very, very good with just that limited amount of sunlight. They're very versatile in that when it comes to that. And there's just, again, name an herb. There's a lot of herbs that you can grow and pretty much anywhere in the country. Based on where you're at, some of them are perennials. They will come back year after year. Other ones, based on the cold temperatures, they are annuals.
I think one that's becoming more popular is lemongrass.
Yes.
And because a lot of people use it in different cooking and then also just in their own, flavoring their own tea. And we grow that really easily.
And it looks like a giant piece of grass.
Yeah.
It bunches together. Yeah.
Smells really good.
And it doesn't come back year after year for us because we're in too cold of a climate. But you just cut it back and it has the fragrance of lemon very, very easily. And I think that's kind of where years and years ago, before lemons and pineapple and all of this stuff was so available at your local grocery store, that's where our ancestors, our grandparents, utilized these type of plants in order to get the fragrance that they didn't have available to them, such as a lemon or a lime or licorice.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So we can talk about some spices you can grow.
I want to talk about mustard, because mustard is easy to grow, and you can make your own mustard at home in the water bath canner. And you've done this.
Yeah. Yeah. I've made mustard. Yeah. So mustard you grow, it's kind of like, it's a plant, obviously.
You don't say.
You're growing the seed. So what's right. happening is if you live in a climate where you grow mustard,
mustard is an easy crop to grow. You're growing the seed. You're using the seed as the actual plant or the item in which you're turning in to the actual mustard. And
so it's going to be a mustard plant.
Right.
And so you want the plant to bolt, essentially, so uh-huh. you can get the seed.
In this instance, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and that's what you're doing. So same thing with cilantro. If your cilantro bolts, then you get coriander seed,
right.
which is the seed for the cilantro.
But anyway, talk about the ease of mustard now, because people are unfamiliar that you can make your own, you can can your own mustard.
Yeah, so mustard, you just get your mustard seeds, you cook them down, you puree them, and then you can add flavoring, whether it be like most people sometimes will add like a cherry, honey.
Cranberry,
even beer.
Mm-hmm.
And you follow that recipe, and then you add a little vinegar.
You can put beer mustard on your beer brats while drinking beer.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's very Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. You cook it down, you puree it, and then you add the flavor, whatever you're adding, and then you add some vinegar and you can it, and it's really tasty.
Well, another spice in which you can grow, and we planted it just a couple of weeks ago, was garlic. You can plant garlic. You can make, you know, dry garlic powder from garlic. That, you know, many people use the fresh garlic. You can get your garlic from BigElkGarlicFarm.com, a great farm there in Pennsylvania, ships across the country. And you can actually take your garlic that you harvested in spring, grind it up, dry it out, and turn it into garlic powder. It's very easy to do. If you have leftover garlic that's not good enough to plant, or you're trying to get rid of the old stuff before you bring in the new stuff in the spring, make garlic powder out of it. Works very, very well. And it's so potent a fragrance compared to the store-bought stuff that you're familiar with. What else do we have here?
So we also have, let's see here.
We've got lavender.
Yeah, lavender. We've tried growing lavender.
Lavender is a unique plant that sometimes if it likes you, it'll grow very well for you. And other times it doesn't grow very good. But there's a lot of things in which you can do with lavender, not only the flower, but also the stems for the fragrance. And the people make potpourri out of it. They will actually cook with it as well.
Put in tea,
lavender tea.
It's very relaxing.
Dill is another very popular one. And based on your environmental, your location, can be labeled as an invasive species, invasive plant because of the vigorous that the plant produces, the seeds. We planted dill in our front yard garden containers about 10 years ago, and it went to seed, and we transitioned the containers to a ground garden, and we've still never had to plant dill because we just get dill all over the place. And a couple of years, we ended up doing a experiment, and we got 1 gallon, 2 half-gallon mason jars full of clean dill seed, and we didn't even make a dent in it.
No, dill is definitely very, very aggressive. So it's, if you do grow it, you want to be mindful of where you're putting it.
Cayenne, peppers.
Yeah.
You can make your own cayenne hot sauce or not your hot chili powder. Certainly do it that way. Very easily to do so. Just grow hot peppers, let them dry out, grind them up. Be sure you're careful of where you're drying it. If you put cayenne peppers or habaneros or jalapenos or ghost peppers and a dehydrator to dry, be sure you do it in a garage, a ventilated area, in a shed. Don't do it in the kitchen whenever you have family over, because it will burn everybody's eyes out. Mm-hmm. And this is also a very unique way and a good, safe way in order to get relatives to leave during the holidays if they're staying too long. Hey, we're just going to grind up some chili here, and we're going to dry this out and burn all your eyes out.
Another one.
See you next year.
Another one is juniper berries.
Yes, okay.
And that's growing on the juniper bush. And yeah, I guess it's really easy to grow. And then you're harvesting the berries and then you're doing whatever you need to do with it. A lot of times that's how gin is made, but also, cause juniper does have a kind of a earthy, piney mm-hmm. flavor. So that is one that you could grow. And it's a very pretty, bluish berry.
These are just some, and I'll give you a little tip here. If you are wanting to try this, that's great. But if you're wanting to just, you know, utilize your garden for other more easily grown vegetables, such as beans, tomatoes, fill in the blank, and you want to purchase your spices, you want to go to a spice shop. Or if your grocery store has a bulk area of spices, that typically has the fresher spices in it, even though it's ground up in bulk. The turnaround on that is much quicker, and it's cheaper to buy in bulk, because sometimes you have a recipe that needs 2 tablespoons, and then you buy this whole bottle of stuff for like $8-$9, and you never use it again. So look at the bulk materials. Go to your spice shop that you have, if you have one available. That's the better way in order to buy spices for the freshness. After a certain period of time, herbs or spices in the grocery store in those containers lose their they're done. So spices, herbs, and teas are things in which you can grow in your garden.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.